Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, Wayne Lou, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors bounce back with probably their best performance in the three Summer League games to date, this time beating the Houston Rockets by a score of 92-76. Now, coming into this game, the obvious storyline was the number two pick, Jalen Green, versus the number four pick, Scottie Barnes. And, you know, it was not about that at all. I thought Jalen looked pretty good. He seems to get really low. He's really hard to keep in front. He's really quick and athletic. And clearly he's a guy who can get to his shot pretty much whenever he wants to. But he unfortunately picked up a bit of an ankle injury or something like that. Just pulling out for a jumper. Didn't even see a lot of contact. But apparently he left the game for precautionary reasons. And Scotty, well, he actually picked up a bit of a knock himself. Rockets defender was sort of going around a screen being set by Scotty. He was bumped in the thigh. He played the rest of the game, but it was very quiet. I mean, only had two field goals. Similar to the Warriors game, except for the fact that he didn't really get to the free throw line and just wasn't that involved offensively. So really, we came into this game expecting to talk about those two guys. Not going to talk about them the rest of the game because, or the rest of the podcast, because it was really about the rest of the guys. I think, first off, some very positive signs all around by the team. And again, no one really cares specifically how the team is playing in Summer League because it doesn't matter. But I will have to say that Patrick Mutombo has been very consistent on this front, which is that the Raptors have a standard of basketball. And if you are on this team and you're looking to make this team, which pretty much everybody on the roster, except for Scotty, except for Malachi, except for Precious, all these guys are looking to make the team. They don't have no guaranteed spots on the team. For the other, you know, 13, 12 other guys on the roster, the job is to play Raptors basketball. So it does actually matter for these guys to play hard and to play together and to play the identity with the Raptors have, which is to play really hard on defense, force turnovers, get in transition, play unselfish, and you know, move the ball. Like, if you heard the other podcast, I mean, that game was a mess. If you watched the other game, I mean, I'm sorry. Honestly, I'm sorry you watched it because it was a garbage game in terms of quality of basketball. And there were certainly sloppy moments in this one, don't get me wrong. But the Raptors played a lot more composed, a lot better as a team. Malachi Flynn was interviewed after the game, and he said, you know, the Raptors didn't look good in that Warriors game. They didn't play like themselves. They played sort of a lot more individually, and today was a very different result. So on that front, it was a lot more positive. This looked a lot more like Raptor basketball to me. And, you know, along that front, in terms of the individual performances from some of the guys, a lot of positives to stand out from this game. I think early on, the guy who really, really impressed on the Raptors was Delano Banton, who had some very sloppy moments over the course of the three Summer League games. He makes some very basic elementary errors. But at the same time, you can see the vision and why the Raptors got a guy like that. Because Delano, as soon as he checked in from into the game, he was coming off the bench. He was very shifty, man. First off, you don't expect a guy like at 6'9 to be that quick. and he seemed to have a lot of quickness and burst to get past his man, which is surprising. It doesn't actually look like he's that quick on any of the film when you watch like his college tape, for example. But he was able to, you know, cross over, especially when he was attacking to his left. That seemed like his preferred option there. He was very, very effective going left. And he would sort of cross over, get his shoulders past the defender or just ahead of the defender. And at that point, he's 6'9" with an opening attacking downhill. And, I mean, you know, it's hard to stop. I think, you know, first off, his length. I mean, it's really like a 1-2-step situation where he can just pick up the ball essentially after the crossover, take two strides, and sort of extend to the basket. And he was able to do that a few times. But he was also just able to, I don't know, man, just play a lot more aggressively. Listen, as with all the Raptors point guards, you're going to need the ability to get downhill. You're going to need to touch the paint. You're going to need to affect the basket. You need to draw defenders, and then you're going to kick. That's pretty much what the Raptors want to do. They'll either run pick and roll. They'll run some sort of dribble handoffs. They'll sort of run pistol action. They'll work the ball back and forth in a little three-man weave. But the ultimate goal is to create that opening, punch downhill, touch the paint, affect the basket, and either finish, which would be great, or kick it out for three, which is also very good. You know, that's hardly groundbreaking. This is largely what basketball is about. But, you know, I think Delano did a really good job with that. Came in with the right mindset, was a lot more aggressive. A lot of guys have been pressuring up on him because he's taller, handling the ball. Maybe there's more of an opportunity to attack the handle, but he's been secure on that front. Where his turnovers have been coming from have been sort of telegraph passes. And he did still have a few of those today, but ultimately came into the game with a very aggressive mindset, tried to like posterize a guy. He got fouled. The play was reviewed, which I didn't know there were reviews in Summer League. That should not be the case. I'm sorry, but no one wants to see a Summer League review. I don't care. But in any case, that was called back. But then on the immediate next play, the Raptors win the jump ball. Cause you know, if you have a foul called back, whatever, you jump for possession. Raptors win the jump. Delano gets the ball as the point guard and goes right back to the basket and goes in for a layup. So I love that mentality there. Again, he seems to have the quickness to, you know, or at least that burst to take that first step past this guy. And at that point, he's just really long, right? That was nice. But he was also making some really nice passes. Like, I think at the end of the second quarter, basically right before half, Delano was working that pick and roll up top. Got a screen. He connected and sort of saw Ish Wainwright out of the corner. Ish was in the left corner. And sort of, it was sort of a clear out situation. Just sort of like a little 1-4 flat for Delano to sort of operate. And Ish made a quick cut just across the paint. And Delano read that, made a play to sort of draw the defense. And then threw this no-look dart right across the paint. Right to Ish, who was able to cut in for a layup. That was beautiful. I mean, Delano made a number of really nice passes today. And even, you know, this is something where, again, you can't just look at the box score for something like this, but at the towards the end of the third quarter when Delano checked in for his pretty much his last shift of the game, coming off the bench there, playing at the end of the third quarter, he had one play where he drove out of the left corner, drove baseline, kicked it to an open shooter. The shooter missed, but it was a very open three. Very, very good result. Next play down, he works the pick and roll. He sees the big man drawing a defender slightly towards the basket. You see somebody on his right side just moving a half step over to bump Freddie Gillespie on the roll. Then he quickly reverses the ball to that side of the floor for another open wing three. That was also missed, but a very, very good read. A very quick read. Just off that simple pick and roll action. And then the next time down, he works the pick and roll. Freddie Gillespie's rolling. This time, you know, he's not getting tagged because literally the last time he just had beaten the defense with the pass to the shooter that the defender was tagging off of. And Delano's able to throw a really nice pass, just kind of floated over the top. When you're 6'9", you have easier angles to sort of hit the big, the rolling big man. It's a lot harder for a smaller guard like Malachi, for example, to throw a lob, just because you might have to float it at a different angle. You might have to put more air on it. The more air on it, the more likely it is to intercept it. But when you're 6'9", and you're passing to another 6'9 guy, it's almost like a direct kind of over-the-top pass, sort of bridging over the defense. And Gillespie actually flubbed the layup, which was very unfortunate, and he had a lot of those sequences. But Delano looked really good, and I was very happy with what Delano was doing. Again, still very raw. You can definitely see where he would chirp up, but you saw the potential today, and you saw the potential a little bit yesterday as well. In terms of other guys who impressed, I thought Precious Achiuwa has been really fun to watch. I think you have a good idea of what he can do, right? Physically, I mean, he can come in for some really highlight dunks. Clearly a plus athlete, uber athlete, posterizing guys. I mean, Nick Nurse was on the broadcast being interviewed, which, by the way, fantastic broadcast. The NBA TV broadcast, as compared to the ESPN broadcast, night and day. So much better on NBA TV. It was to a degree that was almost embarrassing. Sam Mitchell, obviously, having Sam with his familiar with the Raptors, obviously he works with TSN, he does a lot of the broadcast, and also he, you know, he was coach of the year here in Toronto. You know, he has the familiarity to sort of talk about the Raptors, right? So he'll bring nice little insights to the game in terms of just a guy who is a national commentator, but definitely knows Toronto very well. But him and Jared Greenberg were just excellent as a comedy duo, almost. The two of them just sort of ribbing each other. And sometimes, you know, like, people on air ribbing each other can kind of feel awkward. You know what I mean? Like, if you've seen some, like, Shaq Charles bits in halftime or postgame shows, like, it can get real awkward sometimes. You know, like, well, what are you guys doing, man? You're a grown adults, you know, arguing on TV. But, no, I thought Sam and Jared Greenberg were excellent. But the two of them were interviewing Nick Nurse on the sideline in the second quarter. And literally as Nick Nurse was talking about some random topic, Precious Achiuwa goes in for a poster dunk. I think an and-one situation. Nick was asking for the replay as well. It was great to see live. Sort of that moment picked up live on the broadcast. But Precious was really good. We know he can do what he can do in terms of that front. We know that he's very switchable defensively, moves his feet really well, a committed defender. You know, he had a diff. I was very curious to see this specific matchup for him because he was going up against Alperen Şengün, which sounds very much like Shen Yun, which is so funny to me. I for some reason, I'm just imagining him now as part of that Shen Yun front. But in any case, yeah, like, he was, you know, that's a 19-year-old EuroLeague or Turkish League MVP who's really good in the post. And we saw some of that skill. I mean, Şengün had a really, really nice wraparound pass to a cutter there. Dare I say Jokic-esque. Although, to be fair, I do feel like a lot of European bigs kind of know the angles with the passing and things like that. In any case, though, really nice pass, very skilled player, very physical player, you know, down low. But Precious blocked him like three or four times, man. There's one play where Precious gave him a little space, sort of like made Şengün think that he had the space to go up, and then just swatted it right in his face. There was another play, and on the other end, he was taking it to Şengün as well. Now, I will have to say, very big difference between the back down game and the face up game. Face up game for Precious, where he can use his handle, and there's one play where he's sort of setting up his defender, crossed it between his leg like three or four times really quickly, and I was like, what's a center doing that? That's rare. And you know, you don't see that quite often, and especially if you do see it, sometimes it's not successful, which may be more important. But yeah, you know, the face up game, I think, for him is very, very interesting because he can use his speed to his advantage. He can create some you know, openings there. He can, again, get to where he wants to go because of his handle. The back down game is a lot more robotic. Mostly him just trying to, you know, throw the shoulder into the defender over and over and over again. See sort of where, how far he can get in terms of depth in the paint before throwing up a hook. Doesn't have great touch on that shot, I have to say. And even just general back-to-basket stuff doesn't look totally natural for Precious. But there were some really nice moments. And really what I'm talking about is how fast the man is in the open floor with the ball. Now, first off, it's good enough for most bigs to just be fast in open floor, right? That alone will get you a lot of buckets. Just running the floor hard because you are a huge target. It's easy to pass to you. And then the defense is usually, you know, not in place. You can really elevate and get to the rim, pressure the basket. Very simple, elementary stuff. You probably want a big man running the fast break. And Precious is definitely very fast. But when he actually has the ball, like, let's say he rips down the rebound and looks to attack, it's really genuinely impressive how fast he is with the ball in his hands. He'll go full speed in terms of his sprint and handle the ball at the same time. and do it securely. Like, you know, like, I'm not just talking about no one in front of him. He's just pushing the brake, you know, one on nothing, like nothing like that. I mean, like, there would be defenders sort of, like, half-shading towards him. Out of position, of course, but at least, you know, in the way to the point where they can swipe out the ball or they can slightly bump him or things like that, or maybe try to sort of body up and pressure him and contain him to force him to cough up the ball. Precious will just dribble through all those guys. First off, he's very strong. You can't really knock him when he's handling the ball. His momentum is not... His path is not going to change. You know, if you've studied grade 11 physics, when you have the small object moving with momentum going against a larger object, the small object is going to bounce off the large object. Large object is not going to change direction or velocity very much, whereas the small ball is going to go back with twice the velocity. Again, you know, anyway, you don't need to hear physics jokes. That was terrible. But, you know, you get to see how quick he is changing ends of the floor. And that's really going to be something that the Raptors are going to use. Not necessarily like you plan for that, but that's something that the Raptors have universally given permission to all their players to push the break. The Raptors want to play as fast as possible on the offensive end. They want to force these transition opportunities. I mean, late in the season, they were giving Ken Birch the carte blanche to, like, rip the rebound and bring the ball up. He's much slower with the ball. Precious is just different in that front, man. He's very athletic when he does that. And he hit two threes. That's something the Raptors have also been trying to get him to do. He only attempted one three in last season with Miami, and that's not something that I would say is a core part of his game. If you just look at the shot itself, he gets very little lift. It's ironic for a guy who jumps out the gym, but he gets very little lift shooting the ball. Looks a little bit more mechanical, but I mean, Precious is interesting, man. He was very interesting. I'd say he outplayed Şengün. Şengün made some nice highlight plays in terms of the passing, and generally he has skill. There's no doubt about that, and he also has back knee, but there's also no doubt about that in when you're wearing a basketball jersey. But Precious was awesome. 19 points, 5 rebounds, 8 of 11 in 26 minutes. I thought he was excellent. The free throw shooting, 1 for 5, is disappointing, but you know, again, you could clearly see why the Raptors are interested in him. You could sort of make the comparison to second-year Pascal Siakam, where you have a guy who is that clearly that athletic as a front-court player, moves with the speed of a guard, can handle the ball, get to the basket. The shooting is very iffy, very questionable. You don't really know. But, you know, Pascal had a lot of success in that second year as sort of the energy guy off the bench with that bench mob. And you could kind of see how Precious could sort of, you know, fill that role. Now, I wouldn't say that Precious is the next Pascal. That's very ambitious, and I think it really discredits how much Pascal beat the odds to sort of improve his own game. But and really, one of the key differences is Pascal has a real comfort and know-with-all in terms of how to finish around the basket. Like, he'll have different moves. He'll set guys up. He'll think 2-3 moves ahead. He's smooth when he's in the post, especially when he's going against one-on-one against guys similar or smaller than him. But he'll have multiple moves, whereas I think Precious back down is very robotic, and sort of that is a key difference, considering that's largely how Pascal scores. But in any case, I could sort of see that progression or at least that role for Precious in his sophomore season in the NBA. Other guys that impressed me, I thought Malachi was great. You know, much more balanced game from him. Still didn't set up the play as much, but a lot more dedication as sort of the leader of the team. And what I mean by that is show some leadership. So, you know, a bad play on one end offensively, there's a turnover, the Rockets are going the other way, through a 2-on-1 fast break. You know, Şengün's leading the break, he can handle the ball. And here's Malachi, 3-4 steps, you know, behind the play, sprints to get back, pokes the ball free from Şengün. That leads to a transition from the Raptors going the other way, and the Raptors score. Like, make leadership plays. Make the kind of plays Fred VanVleet would make. Make the kind of plays Kyle Lowry would make. A guy's driving to the basket. You know, he's got a step on his defender, and then Malachi slides over from the blind spot, sort of pokes him, pokes the ball free, or bumps the defender or the attacker without committing a foul, or at least being called for the foul, and getting stops that way. Sort of, you know, just show some leadership, man. That's his role in this team. I mean, this is his role generally as a point guard, but that's his role specific on this team as the guy with the most experience with the Raptors, having played the most minutes and the most reps. And even though it's the first summer league for him, you kind of need him to be that leader. I thought he did that a lot better tonight. He had a Kyle Lowry-esque sequence, which I don't say this lightly. But also this season, I'm going to say indulgently, because I'm going to miss Kyle a lot. And it's weird that he's no longer a Raptor. But you will see him in sort of small places. And obviously, the two guys most obviously you would see him in is in Malachi and in Fred. In this case, what I mean by that is there was a play, transition, 3-on-2. Ball gets to Malachi. He cashes the transition 3. Okay, the ball comes the other way. The Rockets get the ball to whoever. He's taller than Malachi. He's trying to back him down. He ultimately settles for a sort of a pull-up jumper while Malachi stands his ground in the post. The miss, it's a forced miss shot. Malachi collects the rebound, goes up the floor, beats three or four defenders in terms of just with his speed, and then draws the foul and finishes through the contact with the Bankton shot off the glass. That forces a timeout from the Rockets. And again, that is something that Kyle would have done. That is something Kyle absolutely would have done. Those are all characteristically Kyle Lowry plays. If he had taken a charge at some point, I would say you would really, really hammer that in. But that's a really high compliment to pay a guy, especially a point guard, is to make a Kyle Lowry sequence. And Malachi gave you a Kyle Lowry sequence, and that was great. But really, the best story of the game was Ish Wainwright, who I've already been pretty impressed by in terms of just the three games here. He hasn't really made an impact offensively. To be honest, I don't really project his skill set to be the most impactful guy offensively. It's almost guaranteed that he's like a fifth option type on offense. He seems to have the jumper down. He's a really bulky guy, so like his jumper does look a little bit strange, but it has fallen okay. And today he was great, 4 of 6 from three, including one that was quite deep. And he got an offensive glass, but largely the reason why Ish is on the team, and maybe the biggest reason why he would make a team, is how much he plays defensively. And I love the way he guards. It was very apparent in the Warriors game, where he sort of had a number of skirmishes against Kuminga, who was quite frankly dominant in for extended stretches. And I thought Ish did the best job on him. And today, Ish led the whole thing defensively. And what I mean by this is, like, you know what? What we're talking about with a guy like Ish is the fact that he is a guy in a football body. And, you know, he is so strong that he's kind of... First off, there's not a lot of mismatches for him. So Ish guarded a lot of guys today, including he guarded like Şengün and stuff like that. Not a lot of post-up players in general in the NBA nowadays. But still, guarding a guy who's a post-up center, bigger than him, taller than him, bodied him up, no problem. You know, you want him to guard Jalen Green, he'll get out there and slide his feet, move his hands, you know, stay in position, no problem. You want him to guard wings and whatever shooting guards, Ish is on the job. He's really, really smart in that front. And for a team like this, right, where you're talking about a summer league setting where the guys have been together for like a week, maybe a week, there's not a lot of cohesion defensively. They're not running practices, you know, and to the extent where you would have the normal cohesion you would have with an NBA team, for example. A lot of guys, quite honestly, are probably playing with different agendas in terms of how they're trying to make the team. So you'll see a lot of guys play out of character. And so all what I'm trying to say is that there's not a lot of structure. But for a guy to be able to make a lot of really good help defense reads within that sort of environment does really speak to sort of how he's reading the game defensively. And he was anticipating beautifully. He had 4 steals and 2 blocks in this game. Ish, he was, I mean, I would say, you know, Precious had some really, really nice moments defensively. I mean, Scotty had some really nice moments defensively. 5 blocks, including 3 block jumpers. That's not easy. But Ish was excellent. Just as good as either of those two guys defensively. I mean, and he'll just make small plays. Like, you know what? He'll see a guy who's, you know, being forced to the sideline. He'll come over with a quick bit of pressure, a quick double. Not even sure that's really scripted in the defense. Maybe that's just something that he picks up and he reads. And he'll trap the guy. He'll force a turnover. And going back to the fact that he has such strength in his upper body, because he really is built like a Lego figure, especially in the chest. Like, he is just going to absorb contact. So guys will drive against him, and he will just absorb that and knock them off balance and then pick the ball off. And so that part was excellent. He hit the threes. He made some really nice cuts. Like I mentioned, that play with Delano where he sort of shifted from one corner to the other. I believe that's called the Danny Green cut. But yeah, I mean, just number of really solid plays. Got on the offensive rebounds four times, two assists as well, including one where he sort of made a strip in the open court, created a fast break, took it hard to the basket, drew the defender, got him up in the air, and then mid-air threw a wraparound pass to Precious Achiuwa. Very nice setup. Very unselfish play. Again, very, very few players in Summer League are passing up shots, and Ish had all the right in the world, especially since he stripped the defender to go in for the layup, and he probably would have made it too, but he gave that up for a better play for his teammate, which is very rare in Summer League. And I like his game, man. And you might say, well, listen, he's 26 years old. What's the upside here? You know what I mean? Like, shouldn't you give the spot to someone else? A couple of things. Number one, go watch. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, just click pause, okay? Go over to watch Ish Wainwright's post-game press conference, where he is just so real and honest and transparent in his answer. I asked him sort of, because he's played 4 years at Baylor, then he tried football for a while. He got invited to Bills camp, stuff like that. You know, he caught a couple of touchdowns as a tight end. I mean, this guy's really built. Like, he's a classic tight end. And he did that. Then he went overseas. He was playing in France, all of this other stuff. I asked him, like, hey, what were your emotions when you got that call, when you got, you know, this invite to the NBA you've worked so hard for? And he was so real, so transparent. He broke down emotionally. He was so open about it in terms of his journey, what it means to him, you know, the support he's gotten from his Baylor teammates, a lot of which are in the NBA. Guys like Royce O'Neal, guys like Taurean Prince, guys like Freddie Gillespie. I mean, maybe not teammates, because maybe that didn't overlap, but, you know, teammates effectively in the same program. It was such a beautiful moment. So go watch that and then come back to this video. But yeah, Ish was just, he fits. He fits, right? And you might say, well, he's 26, you know, like, he's turning 27 later this month. Like, is that not too old? Would you not want to invest something in someone younger with more upside potential or whatever? To which, like, I mean, like, this is the Raptors we're talking about, right? It's not like we don't have success stories of this regard with the team, who are literally on the team right now. Guys like Yuta Watanabe, who, if I had to give someone this year's version of Yuta, Ish is the early favorite in that front, okay? Where he's a defensively sound guy, unselfish offensively, makes plays, clearly a very smart player, willing to do the dirty work, you know. I could see a lot of Yuta, and very good vibes, very genuine, pure vibes, which is something you always got from Yuta as a person, even though I've only seen him virtually and talked to him virtually. You got that vibe from him. You got the same vibe from Ish. But you have guys who have succeeded in that front. You've seen Yuta succeed, right? I mean, what's Yuta now? 26, 27, right? You've seen Chris Boucher. When he joined the Raptors, he was 26. age is hardly an impediment to what the Raptors want. If you can play, if you got the right mindset, if you got the right personality, if you got the right skill set, and to be honest, if you are 6'9" with a 7-foot wingspan, the Raptors will give you a chance. And I think Ish fits all of that on that front. But, you know, I also just think that, like, there's some value in what he... There's clearly some value in a player of his type. And the guy I would compare him to is PJ Tucker, who is a 2-time Raptor and now an NBA champion. So congrats to PJ Tucker. But if you're not familiar with PJ's story, undersized power forward, similar to Ish, right? 6'6". So Ish is actually taller than PJ. Ish is 6'6". PJ is like 6'4". Maybe, he's listed at 6'5", but that's probably just depends on whatever expensive sneakers he's wearing. He's probably 6'4". Okay, but undersized guy. But PJ has 7-foot wingspan. So we're talking about like a +6 wingspan in terms of difference between height and wingspan. And maybe even more than +6, +7 maybe. Ish is kind of the same deal. He's 6'6" with a 7'2" wingspan. Similar body type as well. Thick in the chest. Really strong player. Able to move his feet defensively and slide with guards, but also able to sort of muscle up against the bigger guys. So just on that physical front alone, it's similar, right? And in terms of the skill set, similar. You're probably profiling as guys who, you know, can use their strength to get on the offensive glass, mostly operate in the corners, hitting corner threes. Obviously, PJ became really prolific at that. You know, bit funky shooting forms, just like I think both of them do have unorthodox shooting forms. But, you know, defensively 3-and-D guys with that sort of football body who can guard multiple positions. So on that front, there's a comparison. The other comparison is PJ Tucker had to go overseas. If you go to PJ Tucker's Wikipedia page, which I'm on right now, you will genuinely get a nice little geography lesson in terms of the places he's played, because he's played in Hapoel in Israel. He's played in Donetsk in Ukraine. He's played where is this club? He's played in Israel again. He's played in Germany. I mean, he's been kind of all over, right? And he came to back to the NBA and to the Phoenix Suns. And the age he came at was at 27. And honestly, you know, there is that comparison. If there is a guy that he's going to try to replicate or try to copy, it's that PJ Tucker kind of mold. And I'm pulling for Ish. I've really seen a lot defensively from him. Offensively, again, I really don't think that there is any sort of impact beyond a fifth starter at the moment. But he's a guy who's going to impact defensively. And you know that's what the Raptors are looking for. You know that that's something that's going to be factoring into his evaluation. When you hear from Patrick Mutombo speaking about Ish, I asked him about Ish yesterday. He was asked about Ish again today. Both times he gushed about the guy, talked about him as a leader. It's a great story. And again, if you haven't seen the interview with Ish, go watch it. It's so real. It's what you always want to hear from athletes, but very few athletes are willing to let people in about sort of what they're feeling, and you know, you'll get a real sense of sort of what a lot of these guys are going through and sort of where they're at. But in any case, really good win. In terms of your three stars from this game, I'm going to go with Ish as the first star. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks, 7 of 12 shooting from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. Just a number of great plays. Plus 27 in his 28 minutes of play, that was the highest of the team, was excellent. And that you know, plus minus sometimes can be deceiving. This time is absolutely not true. Ish really set the tone defensively, as he has multiple times so far in this summer league run. But offensively, we also showed you what he's capable of, and also one incredible interview. So go watch that. Second star, I want to give to Malachi Flynn. I thought he was a lot better. 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, a block from Malachi. A couple of unforced turnovers from him. Some of the shooting, I think, you know, you would really want to see him knock in a lot more of these wide open threes that he gets, considering he does have to create a lot of difficult baskets creating for himself, but a lot of really nice moves. One of my favorite Malachi moves is the hesitation dribble. It's so nasty when he does it to bigs. It's gross. And we've seen him last year. He did it to Kevin Love. He did it to Blake Griffin. He gets these guys to freeze and then burst past them. It's so much fun. And he had Şengün on one possession. And I mean, when I say, like, it literally looked like there was like a puff of smoke in the air as Şengün was that's what Şengün ended up defending, because Malachi completely froze him with a hesitation dribble with his his left hand, got to the basket for a layup uncontested. Malachi was good. I don't look at necessarily the shooting stat line. I just think in terms of the leadership that he showed and sort of taking control of this team, much, much better. And then your third star, Delano had a really, really nice start to the game, but he sort of cooled off a little bit. Honestly, Scotty had some really nice moments defensively. He kind of chips in elsewhere. I asked Patrick Mutombo, like, hey, are you looking to get Scotty more involved? Is that sort of a goal? Like, how do you do it? And he did admit that, yes, the team would like to get him more involved. That's, you know, partially on the coach. That's partially on Scotty himself. But he did give Scotty a lot of credit for what he did defensively. He has a gear defensively that's really scary. Like, he'll just blanket a guy. But, I mean, realistically, the third star here is Precious Achiuwa. 19 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Really good post defenses against Şengün. Multiple possessions there. 8 of 11 from the field. Hit 2 threes as well. The speed in transition, just a very fun player. I think the Raptors can do a lot with some of these prospects on their hands here. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, I'm not really sure. On the eye test, I was like, okay, Josh Christopher is doing nice, but then I'm looking at 4 of 18 in the box score right here. That's not ideal. Jalen Green was clearly the best player, he really had it going offensively, but then he, of course, checked out of the game. Garuba, a guy who I heard really rave reviews about how he's an excellent defender. I mean, he was an excellent pylon in this game defensively. That didn't really work out. So I'm going to go with Marcus Foster. Yeah, why not, man? I don't know who this man is, but he had 11 points, so he's going to get the Gerald Henderson Award winners for the game tonight. So thanks everyone for listening. Honestly, by Summer League standards, pretty fun, pretty quality basketball, at least from the Raptors' perspective. A much better showing. And yeah, they'll play on Saturday to close out at least, I guess, the round robin play, and then they'll do the playoffs. We'll see how far the Raptors stick with this, but it's been fun. Summer League is always very fun, and you get these stories, and yeah, Ish is definitely the story tonight, so, you know, happy for him, and yeah, I'll be back on Saturday with another podcast to recap the next game, and on Friday, you know, which most people listening to this will already be Friday, in fact, it is 12:08 a.m. on Friday. So in 12 hours at noon, I'll be opening the phone lines to take some calls along with Josh Hart. So look out for that as well. I'll put out a link. So it'd be nice to do another live show and get fans and get their voices on the air. But yeah, fun game.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.